Hello and welcome to Life, Lemons and the Law, a Clark Wilmot podcast series about life-changing experiences of all kinds with the people involved. We hear about the initial impact of those experiences, as well as the long-term, often very positive consequences. Plus, we also hear our guests' long-term perspective on everything they've been through. On this episode, I'm talking to Charlotte Murray. We're discussing adoption and Charlotte's experience in finding and meeting her biological father. Charlotte, I'm going to ask you, first of all, please introduce yourself and explain a little bit about what you do.
So, hello, I'm Charlotte Murray and I work as a solicitor in the risk management and compliance team at Clark Wilmot. Haven't been at the firm for too long. I started in April this year.
So, Charlotte, this podcast is about life-changing experiences. And in your case, the life-changing experience surrounds adoption, although it's not necessarily finding out that you were adopted. It comes a little bit later on, and we'll come to that. Did you know that you were adopted when you were growing up?
Initial answer is yes, I did. I knew from as young as I can remember. I can't remember the exact conversation where I was sat down, but my sister's also adopted. She's 4 years younger than me, and we were both always aware of that scenario, and we had adoption papers that we were shown, again, as young as I can remember. They contained information on both our parents.
Did it affect you? Do you think, looking back with that sort of adult lens that you've got now, do you think it affected you emotionally, psychologically?
Yeah, I think it did, to be honest. I think what affected me was what was written in my notes rather than being told that I was adopted. So I was quite lucky that the school I went to when I was younger, there was a few other children that went there that were also adopted. And our parents, my mum and dad, were very keen on making sure that we knew who those people were. And I think because I grew up around similar children that were adopted as well, I don't think the adoption side impacted me. But the notes that I'd seen growing up, I don't think I necessarily understood some of them as a very young child, but as I started to read them as a teenager and a young adult, particular mention in one of them was that my biological mother had wanted an abortion and was a week too late. And I think that really sticks with you as an adult. And I think children that are adopted anyway, I'm probably safe in saying there's definitely some issues around rejection and whether you were loved or wanted. And especially then reading something like that in addition was, yeah, definitely impactful.
Did you take that information to your adoptive parents? Did you say, hey, look, what does that mean? Did no one want me? Or did you keep that bottled up inside?
I kept it bottled up inside. And it's not that we didn't have open conversations about it, but I think it's something you realise that, you know, my mum and dad, they did a wonderful thing and you feel very loved in that circumstance. And I think a lot of the time you're left questioning, is this a silly feeling that I've got? You know, is it even warranted that I feel this way? There's an underlying, I think, a fear of rejection that kind of lives with you. And it has lived with me through careers, through everything in life, friendships, etc. And I think it's always there kind of niggling in the background.
It's almost like it was a mistake. That information had been left in, unredacted, for you to consume as a kid. That, I mean, does it make you angry that it was left in?
Only recently, to be honest, and I've had some conversations recently with people that are going through the adoption process now, and having spoken to them, I've realised maybe how bad it was that information was left in, because It's certainly not something that would be told to an adopted child now because of the damage it could do to them. So I think now I do, not anger, it's not really anger, just I guess sadness really, that the system didn't protect me in that scenario and probably didn't protect others as well that may have seen similar things.
Did you want to find your biological parents as a kid growing up, as a teen, as a young adult?
No, is the honest answer. And it wasn't, I didn't really give it much thought. But again, my parents had always said, like, if you want to, we'll be supportive, etc. And my answer had always quite quickly been, oh, I'm just not interested. And that was maintained through to, you know, the age of 30 something, when that did actually then change through curiosity rather than anything else. I'd been given a very good life and I'd been given good opportunities and there was never anything missing. I think in addition as well, Ed, I should say that rejection thing sits there on that basis as well. And if I reach out, am I just going to feel a whole world of hurt as a response?
Okay, so can you remember the switch in that decision when you decided, as you just said, out of curiosity, and of course it's very simple in the modern age to find people online, can you remember the exact moment you decided to try to find your biological parents?
My mum had given me the adoption papers and I'm living in my own house now, and they had a move and they'd done out the loft and they came to me. And I was literally boxing things up to go into the loft. And I looked at them and was like, oh, I'll just check Facebook and see if I can find anything. And couldn't find anything when I searched for my biological mother, and then found a match on the name for my biological father. And his name on its own is relatively unique. And there was only one that came up on Facebook. And he had a lot of photos that could be publicly viewed. And I just thought, oh my God, crikey, like I look identical to this person. This has got to be the person. And I did a bit more research on Facebook and saw that he was Scottish, which my biological dad is. I knew that from the papers. And he had some photos of him in his army uniform. And I knew again from my adoption papers that he was in the army. So everything was ticking the boxes as this is the right person. To be honest, I just sat on it for a year then and didn't really do anything with the information because I wasn't really sure what I should do with it or if I should reach out or not.
So you knew where he was, who he was. You sort of digested that information for a year. I guess that's how long it takes to process something as important as that. Did you have conversations before you decided to take it any further with any of your family or loved ones or your partner?
No, nothing at all. I just decided quite on a whim. I think I'd just done a yoga session and I thought, I've just got to message and see what happens. I'm curious. And I sent this message over Facebook. It was the only form of contact I could have. There was no details on there of any other way to contact him or anything. And to be honest, I sent the message and again, didn't really think too much of it because I knew with Facebook Messenger, if you're not connected to someone, sometimes it can just go into like an archive.
Okay.
And I thought he's probably not even going to get this message. So I wasn't really anticipating a response in any way.
All right. So what happened next?
Well, so I sent the message and I guess I should say what I put in it roughly. So I put in this message basically, hi, and you'll probably know me as Louise, because that was my birth name. And there's no reason that my biological parents would have been told that I'd had a name change as a child. And I said, I just wanted to let you know that I've had a really good life and I've got great parents and I'm not expecting a response, but I just wanted to let you know that I'm okay. And that was pretty much the gist of my message. And then less than 24 hours later, I woke up to a response, which again, just kind of knocked me for six, wasn't really expecting it. I think from there, I'd probably say the next few months were quite overwhelming, but the response back was basically to let me know that my biological dad, Neil, had been waiting for effectively his whole life for me to get into contact with him, and that his entire family, friends, everyone knew about me, albeit they all knew me as Louise, and that they'd just been wanting me to get into contact. I think the adoption system made it very difficult for people to be tracked down. I don't think it's as difficult now, but it certainly was 30 years ago. And very overwhelming, Ed, to be honest, to go from just a single message to knowing that there was a whole group of people out there that knew about me, that were waiting for me to get in contact with them.
Describe your first physical meeting with your biological father. Where did it happen? Did you recognize him straight away? Was there any doubts, hesitations, reservations in your mind?
No hesitations or doubts. Very nervous, incredibly nervous. We've been talking quite a while on Facebook first, and I'd kind of learned a bit more about him and his family and who was involved in his life now, and him vice versa with me. And we'd arranged to go to Nando's of all places for a first meeting, but he actually came to the house here first. So it turned out he actually lived an hour away from me, which was even more crazy given that he is Scottish. So again, I was just under the impression that he would be in Scotland, but he isn't. He's an hour away from me. So he came to the house here and it was just really bizarre. I opened the door and, you know, there's someone standing there that looks very much like you. Natural in a way, I guess. We'd been talking quite a lot. So I guess there was a lot to talk about. And I think the conversation just naturally flowed on that basis. But we did just go and sit in Nando's and have a chat in, you know, a local shopping centre. And I remember we sat there and thought, this is crazy. Everyone else here is just enjoying a meal and they've no idea that we're sat here meeting for the first time, having missed 30 odd years of my life.
this is possibly a little bit fanciful, but was there an immediate indescribable connection, or were you just talking to a stranger that you were meeting for the first time?
Kind of like a long lost friend is how I would describe it. It's, I think it's hard, and I think it would be hard for anyone for there to be more than that, just because I think a lot of those connections are built throughout your life with people, and if, when so much is being missed, I guess there's some walls up as well. There's some protection up because you're, you know, I'm still deep inside. I'm still fearful of this rejection thing. I'm still remembering what I've read on those adoption papers. And a long lost friend, I'd say initially.
And then the days, the weeks, the months go on. You learn about this extended family who all knew of your existence. That sounds extraordinary. Was there a negative side to meeting up with your biological father? I guess what I mean is, were you worried about how it might upset the balance of your family? Did it upset the balance of your family on your side?
I think the overwhelming side of it was a lot, and maybe something I hadn't anticipated, and was not impossible to work through, but harder to work through, just because I hadn't really thought of that side. And I have a half-sister, which I didn't know about, and there were cousins that knew about me, so many people. And to walk into such an extended family and not be expecting that, and I guess naively, I probably thought I'm just contacting my biological dad.
Yeah.
It's incredibly overwhelming. And my half-sister's got three children now, four, in fact. And so I suddenly had all of these nieces in addition to my own two nieces from my sister. Yeah, that was a lot. And then you're right, coupled with the conversations with my parents who hadn't known that I'd reached out. I did tell them very early on after having had those initial conversations with Neil. Particular concerns for my dad, I think, more so, obviously, because it was Neil that I'd contacted. And they were really good, both my parents. They were, I think, a bit shocked to start with. Yeah. And I think it takes a bit of time for that information to sink in. But they were so good, and we all met up and went for dinner quite soon after I'd made initial contact with Neil, with Neil's wife, Amanda. And it was just really nice for them all to meet. And I think actually after that meeting, any apprehension on my parents' side, particularly with my dad, probably went down significantly.
Has Neil, your biological father, expressed any regret?
Yes. We definitely had conversations, and I think his situation was quite unique. So he, I'm going to have to read this from my notes because this is his title when he was in the army. So he was a Lance Corporal Musician in the King's Own Scottish Borderers, which is part of the British Army. So that was his situation around the time of my birth. And he was actually posted in the UK, but was out in Kenya doing some training. And it was discussed within the family, particularly his side of the family, with his parents in Scotland, whether they should adopt me. But I think due to location, age, etc., it was thought best for my interest that I was adopted into a younger family. And when I have spoken to Neil about it, especially the point about the abortion in the adoption papers, because I did speak to him about that, he actually was really choked up when he heard that because he wasn't aware. And that really caught me off of guard because I had just grown up thinking that was a joint decision. So I think 32 years into life to know that that actually wasn't the case, that was quite a poignant moment in the whole thing.
Thank you. Now, moving on, would you ever choose to adopt?
I would love to, and it's certainly something that we've spoken about. And I mean, we are blessed to have our daughter now, who's 27 months old and a bundle of energy, so I'm not sure it'll be a decision anytime soon, but it is in the hopeful future plans. I think it's based on wanting to give someone the same opportunities in life that I've had. And I think being an adoptive child, you really realise how life could be different. And of course, anyone, adopted or not, can go down the wrong path in life. And that's not just because you're adopted doesn't mean you're going to. But I think especially if you end up in a system of just being passed between families, and whilst foster parents do an incredible job, I think as a child you would just feel very lost. And to be able to take someone out of that and to give them some stability in life, I think is a really special thing to do.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. What would you say to couples looking to adopt?
I think I would just say to someone that they just would never regret it. I mean, to be able to watch a child grow and develop and attain things in life that you know they probably wouldn't have been able to if you hadn't given them that chance and that support and that love. And credit to my parents for doing this. It's a really special gift to be able to give someone. I think it's very hard to put it into words, to be honest, Ed. I think it's that child is going to be forever thankful for everything and every opportunity they've been given in life on the back of being adopted. And will always probably see that they, I don't know, that they've been given this rainbow chance at life and being able to go and grasp things. I mean, I know I do it. Every opportunity I get, I grasp with both hands because it's always there that I may not have got that opportunity.
Charlotte, what is the process for prospective adoptive parents?
The adoption process that I went through as a child is very, very different to nowadays. And I've spoken to a couple of people that are going through that process now. And I think it's really important just to mention briefly what that process entails now, because I think a lot of people might be put off, maybe because of how they feel that it used to be or how hard it is. And I mean, I was under the impression that the process was very much driven towards babies and there was a lot of older children that weren't being adopted and being lost to the system. But actually, having spoken to someone that's going through it recently, that isn't the case. And actually, they are now very focused on placing the older children 2 years plus. I mean, they do actually, and it's a horrible term, but they call them the harder to place children. And again, I think even hearing that, if you're going into adoption, it might just trigger something and you think, oh, you know, do I want a child that's harder? And actually, these children aren't harder, they're just harder to place. And it's just that they are slightly being lost into this system. And actually, all they need is a loving, stable home. When you go into it, there's a real mindset shift that happens in that it might be maybe you can't have children, have had IVF, etc., and you've now decided that adoption is where you want to go. And I think you go in thinking, oh, I'm going to have this child that maybe fill in that gap. But actually, it's so much more than that. You go in and I think you then realise that what you're actually doing is taking a child out of a situation that they've been born into and have had no choice in the matter of what their situation is. And you're giving them everything they need on an emotional level, which is the stability and the security and the love, to actually allow them to grow up in a way that they may not if you hadn't done that. And I think that mindset shift is completely fundamental in the adoption process. And from what I understand, is now really reiterated to parents during that process as well. Timing wise, the adoption process can take around a year to 18 months now. It seems to be kind of commonplace for it to take that long. And again, that might put people off, but these children, they really do need to make sure they're going into the right families, because the last thing you want is for them to go into a family, be pulled out of a family, and then go into, it's just so unsettling for them. They really need that security, and that's what they're missing in their lives. And I think the last point I'll put on the process, which is quite a funny point from speaking to someone recently, is that part of the process they went through is that they had people come out and check their house, and one of the things that were flagged on the check was how long the kettle cord was. And I did have to laugh when I heard it on the conversation, because, you know, we've got a daughter and it certainly isn't something I didn't go and measure my kettle cords before having hers. But it shows the kind of level of detail they go into before they do these checks. And whilst it may seem over the top, they really are trying to just make sure that it really is a life-changing thing, both for the parents that are adopting and also the children.